Good evening, good morning, whatever time it is, wherever you are, God is right there with you. We want to welcome you to House C Production Gospel Blog Talk Radio. We hope you enjoy Representative Pastor Thomas E. Jackson from WJDB 95.5 over in Thomasville, Alabama, one of the finest gospel ministries there is in the world. Enjoy the old Super Zion. We had a lot of interruptions with internet interruptions last night and getting the broadcast. And we hope all those interruptions do not interfere with your enjoyment of the program. But we hopefully next Sunday we'll have a better Wi-Fi signal coming out of the South Alabama. Alabama Wi-Fi signal is something else. But anyway, thank you and enjoy the program.
For the past hour, you're listening to the Rose Garden Show. The Rose Garden Show is brought to you by Sister Jim and Rose Bryant of Thomasville, Alabama. We invite you to tune in each and every Sunday from 7 until 8 p.m. for the Rose Garden Show. In Thomasville, you're listening to the Sunday night service of sound on the old Ship of Zion Gospel Music Ministries, 95.5. WJDB, right here on Broadcast Hill in Thomasville. And we're streaming over the internet. And we're going right into the ministry tonight. I just want to thank all of you who have given us the accolades that you've been enjoying. And I want to thank Brother Freddie Howard over in Monroeville for putting us on his internet radio on his mix. As we have said, long as this virus is moving around, 53,000+ of American souls have been lost, over 100,000 worldwide, close to 1 million infected right here in the U.S. And we have over 200+ souls have perished in the state of Alabama, and the count is moving up. And it's time that we must come together as one. The body of Christ is one. There's a lot of pretenders. There's a lot of people that went to church, but they didn't go worship. As four stated, Psalms 91 is going to be our theme coming on until God get us through this pandemic. And we're going to pray for all of our first responders, all those who are on the front lines in our hospitals, nursing homes, convalescent homes, veterans' homes. Oh, Lord. Family members who have been affected. Oh, God, we this is prayer time. Couple of minutes to get the Bible, 91 Psalms. I keep telling you, the word of the Lord said in Romans 10:17, said faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. So they say, we're reading it out loud. Hear yourself read. Hear God speak. Let his word come through your mouth. And with the farmers dumping food and plowing it under, when food shelters are in need of food, you're wondering what's going on. You know, 'cause it'd be better to give it away than to throw it away and put it back into the land. But there's always a but when we don't want to do right.
Yeah.
that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snares of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. And I know in your Bible it might say thee, but I'm saying me. Personalize this thing. He shall cover thee. He shall cover me with His feathers. And on His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by day, by night, nor the arrows that flieth by day. Nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destructions that wasteth at noonday. For 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plagues come near thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all of thy ways. Thou shalt bear thee up with thy hands, and lest dash thy foot against the stone. Thou hast tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample on the feet, because He has set His love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And that's what the Lord is telling us tonight. If we just get into that place, He is the dwelling place. He is our safety zone. And you know what dwell means? To live in. Not to occupy for a moment, for a weekend, but to dwell. You know, you think about your home. It's your place of dwelling. That's where you live. That's where you reside. That's what the Lord want to do. He want us to live in Him. In the word of the Lord, Revelation 3:20, He say He's standing at the door. He's knocking. He's knocking. And if you're here, you're here. Open the door. Let Him come in. Simply because He said He wanna bring you out. He wanna deliver you. He wanna make you His child. Because He wanna be your God. The truth. Prepare for prayer tonight. I just want you to think about those persons, you know, that is in need. And we collectively, you mention their name to the Lord. The Lord know who they are. To dwell. do a universal prayer tonight. How good the Lord is on tonight. We just have beautiful weather. Past 3 weeks have been storming. Are you preparing? Are you preparing yourself to live for the Lord? And you know that's significant. That verse, the verse 3 says, surely he shall deliver me from the snares of the fowler and from the sickness. That's what he said, these diseases, the pestilence. You believe it tonight? God keep his promises. He's a promise keeper. He's waiting for us. He's waiting for us. Come on in that place. Come on in that place. We can be one-on-one with him. Yes, sir. Come on, come on. We're waiting for a couple more. Yes, Lord. Unto the hills which cometh my help, knowing that my help coming from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. He will not suffer our foot to be moved. He that keepeth us will not slumber. He that keepeth Israel neither slumber nor sleep. Father God, as we enter into this service tonight, I want to thank you first and foremost for being God, Creator. The maker of man, the giver of life and precious gifts. And Father, we're coming back tonight because you brought us back. You kept us throughout the week. You watched over us. Even the storm is still raging. Lord, we still can say you're the source. You're the source of our strength. And you're the strength of our lives. And we just want to thank you for keeping us, for watching over us, not just us alone, but Lord, our brothers and sisters, our family members, our neighbors and friends, our colleagues and co-workers, for those who are standing in the need tonight. Our men and women who are riding the streets in protection right now, in uniform. The finest right here in Thomasville, PD. All healthcare professionals there, Lord, at the Thomasville Center, at the hospitals, nursing homes. Those are fighting for to help those who are in dire strait, not just locally, but Lord, universal, worldwide, and they don't have the protection. They don't have what they need to save themselves. But they love you so much, and they love humanity so much that they are fighting and they are giving their service and those who are sick. And we thank you tonight, Father, for those hearts that you put in those persons to love as you have loved. Even as you said in the word, what man of love that a man will lay down his life. Lord, even for people they don't know, they are patient. And they're doing everything they can to keep them alive. And they're putting themselves in danger. But we pray, God, for your hand to move. If you have moved in the past for your people. Lord, tonight, move by your power, move by your spirit, move by your anointing across the airways tonight. Help those that are going through a trial. Help those, God, to look to you who have lost loved ones. Those who have lost their jobs and, Lord, and had to go to food pantries for food. And God, help us to look to you. And Lord, and what we hear and read. But our food processing plants are closing. Less meat, less deliverance to our grocery stores. And those clerks who put their life in the line serving. Some to be even exploited by customers because they don't appreciate. Those who have an arrogant attitude, God, we ask you to lower that, humble them at the mighty hand of you. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us, as we so often say, our nation have turned its back on the poor. We ask you to forgive us of our sins. Lord, you told the strong to bear the infirmities of the weak. Help the weak to say, I'm strong. But Lord, we're keeping the weak oppressed. Instead of lifting them up, we're pushing them down. And we ask you, God, forgive us as a nation, as a people that say they are privileged. Forgive us as we may forgive those who have trespassed against us. Father, we are praying tonight as we go forward in this ministry that you would just bless those who are listening by way of radio, those who are listening by way of the internet, and we'll ask you, God, to touch their families. The word says, he that dwelleth in the secret place, let their home be that secret place. Let them find refuge in you as we are on the shutdown. And even in those states who desire to open for profit and don't have the compassion of lives in their repertoire. They don't in their heart to save lives, but they're thinking about the almighty, the dollar. Well, the economy is going to rise because you bring it up. Well, we can't restore lives that has been lost. And we're praying tonight for leadership. We thank you for our leadership of our governor. She's staying the course. She's listening to the scientists because she has a compassion for the people of this state. And we're praying for those who don't believe that this virus could kill them, who are doing everything that they desire to do other than protect themselves and protect others. We're praying for those shepherds who have sheep. And you told us sheep supposed to love the shepherd and the shepherd supposed to protect the sheep. Help us in this hour to come to the realization of truth and understanding that without you, we can do nothing. But we know that it's in you that we live, move, and have our beings. And Father, we are praying tonight for you to let common sense prevail. Let your truth be revealed. Let your word be established. Let your spirit be manifest. Because you are our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our soon coming King. This we ask. Continue to bless those who are abroad, who are serving, protecting us from foreign invasion. But we ask you to strengthen our president. Open his understanding to truth. Give him a heart of flesh. And those who work in his surrounding, those who are afraid to speak truth to power, give them courage. God, we ask that the people may stand up and you be glorified in this hour. In Jesus' name. Again, we say, forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from our iniquities, wash us in your blood. Keep us behind the cross of Calvary, and we'll ever be mindful of you to tell the world of your goodness. Magnificent God that you are, wonderful Savior, Master, Lord, and even we call you friend. This, in Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, you're the source of our strength. And you are the strength of our lives. Father, we just want to praise you. We want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. For all that you do. What you have done. What you're doing right now. And what you're going to do for your people. Give it to him. He wants the praise. The glory belongs to him. Give him what's due him. David said, Psalms 150, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So I want you to meditate here. Just reach out. Just reach out. Reach out. And let the Spirit move you.
So many problems in our society. And you never know where it is. And rather than prescribing Darvon or some kind of pain relaxer, some kind of muscle relaxer, I wonder when was it the last time that you just pointed somebody to the healing hand of Jesus? The hands of Jesus. A friend called the other day, and he says, "Aunt." Giving him up. He's just got hours to live now. And he said the family is having difficulty facing this. We're falling all to pieces. My wife is fretful. And the family keeps calling me and I don't know what to say. What do you do at a time like this? My response was, "Hey. future looked bright and promising. They even bought a home and decided to start a family. Up and comes a little bouncing baby boy. Beautiful, full of life. But 3 weeks out of the hospital, the husband rises up and says, I want a divorce. I'm filing tomorrow. She says, I'm stunned. I'm shocked. I'm helpless. What do I do? I haven't even had my 6 weeks checkup. It's nobody but me and the baby. My response was, she's got healing hands.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has.
Oh,
he wanna heal you tonight.
The hands of Jesus. The hands of Jesus are healing.
It is not gonna come through Clorox or Lysol. It's gonna come through the Jesus is gonna cleanse you.
A co-worker came into my office and said,
We're in a difficult situation. Thinking about what God has always brought us through.
Do you know a close friend of mine, a frat brother? He's been diagnosed as having AIDS.
Yeah, then it was AIDS, now it's Corona.
Floored when I heard
COVID-19.
I mean, he was Mr. Everybody, Mr. All-America, my God. The athlete.
Because our rural hospitals are closing, and we don't know when we're going to be tested positive and have to go to a hospital 100 miles or more away. My God, help us, Jesus. Jesus.
God's got
healing hands.
Healing hands. Anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? God's got, he's got healing hands. Healing hands. And whatever that problem is, just lay it before the Lord. The hands of Jesus. Yeah.
want to be touched by him. Yes, Lord.
For those of us tonight, I'm going to share a little Bible lesson with you coming from the gospel according to Matthew's 13th chapter. And let me say, I got my brother in the house going to preach later on, but I just want to share something with you in Matthew's gospel, chapter 13, 24th, beginning with the 24th verse. And we will read probably 24th down through 43rd. First Peter 5:6-8. And we're gonna come back. We shared it with you, but just want to say to you tonight, and to all, we really appreciate your encouragement. And those who have supported Sally, thank you, Howard. Thank you so much. And we just want to say to all of you tonight, we appreciate you, we love you, and we thank God for what He is doing in our lives. I'm not ashamed. Robinson, Clay Johnson, good evening. Once we get the message out, then we get into this, acknowledging a few people that's listening by way of internet tonight. Calhoun, Sister Joyce Calhoun, good evening to you. You're so crazy. Love you. Nigga Mac Purnell, Stella Louise Purnell there in Jackson, Alabama. Send the program for yours with Tyrone Moyer. Hey, in Jackson Memorial. Good evening. Get your Bibles, Matthew 13.
Get mad enough to just decide we're not going to take anything else from the devil. He's going to have to start taking stuff from us. When I say it from, I mean off the devil. How many of you know he just kind of plays games with your head and messes with your family and messes with your money, and you just decided you've had all you're going to take and you're going home to run him completely out of town? Yeah.
The enemy not going, he's not going to sit down.
Come on.
Bible said, put on the whole armor of God
that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Because he's not going to take it sitting down. The kingdom of God suffer violence, and the violence take them by force.
Matthew's chapter 13, verse 24, and onward. Another parable. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept," listen, sleep, wake up. Are you woke? Are you W-O-K? Woke. Why men slept? His enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Satan is not your friend. Satan is the enemy. But when the blaze was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So you know, you know anything about planting? I'm not preaching. I'm talking. I got a brother in the studio going to preach later on, but I just want to share something. Those of us who got little flower gardens, you may not have planted a garden or a field. But you find the weeds, you have more weeds growing up. This is what it's saying here. The Lord has planted, and Satan is planting. So the servants of the household came. This is what they said. And said unto him, "Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares?" See, think about that. Oh, the goodness of Jesus. You know, and I think about it, all he's done for us. Then the enemy pops his head up. Verse 28 say, "He said unto them, an enemy has done this." And I want to say to us tonight, as we go through this pandemic, this coronavirus attack, COVID-19, is not of God, it's of the enemy. Satan has done this. And Satan want you to believe that it came from God. He wants you to blame God for doing this. This is from the enemy. It's not from God. But let me share something with you. Listen.
an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But this is what the Lord said. But he said, no. Lest while you gather up the tares, ye uproot also the wheat with them. But let both grow together until harvest. We just said harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barns. And I'm going to skip to go over to the 36th verse. And I'm just sharing this. I'm not preaching. I'm just going to, well, I want you to read to study it, because we're in this dispensation of time. Then Jesus went, sent the multitude away, and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, asking for an explanation. Declare unto us the parable of the tares and the field. She put a pin in this. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of God. Who is the Son of God? Jesus. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The good seed are the saved. Those who God have chosen. Those who've chosen the Lord for that to be their Savior. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. So I want to say to us tonight, hey, all of us are God's creation, but all of us are not God's children. I heard Jesus tell those Jews and those Pharisees that you are of your father, the devil. Because Satan lied from the beginning. I just wanted to put that out there. With all of us are God's creation, but all of us are not his children until we are born again. Then we become the children of God. Do I need to repeat that? And you have to drink no Clorox to get this. This for real. The enemy that sold them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Now this is the word of God. And if you got the King James Version, I know it's written in red. Verse 40 says, and therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. So shall it be in the end of this world. There's going to be a separation. Talk about the harvest. Talking about the enemy. Talking about a separation. Talking about taking the wheat and the tares going to be separated. They all look alike. They walking together. The sheep and the goats going to be separated. Verse 41. And the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of this kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then, verse 43, and then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who has ears to hear. Let him hear. But I want to go over to 1 Peter, and I'm going to share this with you. Then I'm going to be out your way. It was 1 Peter saying there in chapter 5, verse 6 through 7. I said, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Why? Because casting all your care upon him, because he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant,
Because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And if you know, if you remember the story of Job, and I'm going to soon be out of the way, but Job 1, sons of God, God called a meeting, and all the sons of God appeared for the meeting. And guess what? And Satan showed up. And the question was, which cometh thou, Satan? Where you come from? You know, he had got kicked out of heaven, so they was not in heaven. They was in some other place that was not mentioned, but Satan showed up. And Satan said, well, he said, where you come from? Satan said, he said, I come from to and fro, walking up and down in the earth, seeing who I can devour. You know, he had taken Adam out. he had taken Adam's place. See, Adam was supposed to have been before the Lord, but Satan had tricked him. So, and the question was, have you considered my servant Job? See, God still have servants, even in this hour. Those who are doing the will of God. Those who are walking by faith. Those who are not afraid to stand up against the enemy and speak truth to power. Those that are not trying to go along to get along, but those who are trying to make a difference. And that's the world has consumed the church as we know it. But there are some righteous souls out there crying out to God. And the world has consumed the church, and the church is caught up in the world because they want to be partners. But you can't love two masters. The word said you can't. I done tried it. You can't do it. You're gonna be loyal to one. You're gonna despise the other. So what we are doing, it's getting ready for harvest. This pandemic is gonna help prepare the church. It's gonna help separate the wheat from the tares. It's gonna help separate the sheep from the goats. See, everybody that show up in church is not Christians. But that's a good place to go if you're a sinner. Because Jesus said he come to seek and to save those who are lost. The kingdom of God suffer violence. We're going through something right now. But the violence is taken by force. I mean, you can't see this enemy. But he's coming in unaware. And the health officials giving us how to protect ourselves, and we don't believe. You got over 53,000 souls that have been perished in 5 weeks. Almost more, just about as many, more people dead now in 5 weeks than it took in 12 years or 18 years during the Vietnam War. And most of us are doing this because of disobedience. We just got to get out because I got to go get my hair done. You know who's going to be able to do your hair? The mortician. They're going to do your hair, your nails, huh? And then the crematory is going to be open. A little common sense will save our lives sometimes. You know, the whole thing is you wear a seatbelt when you're driving and operating in your vehicle. You stop at the red light or the stop sign. Most of us got smoke detectors in our homes. Most of us got burglar alarms. So why you practice all this safety measures then when the health says stay in and 6 feet apart, put on a mask and wear gloves? You defy that order. Because I can do what I want to do. I'm going to get my hair cut. I'm going to get my feet fixed. I told you who's going to be able to do it. The mortician. Somebody sent me that little tidbit during last week, and I thought it was the funniest thing. And it's the truth, because we don't want to adhere to directions. We don't want to follow directions that is going to be good for us. Think about the children of Israel. The Lord told them to stand still. They didn't want to stand still. They was complaining. Pharaoh at their back, the Red Sea in front of them. And they, we could have stayed down in Egypt. Happened to be in slavery. Complaining. But the harvest is coming. There's going to be a great separation. And I hope that you prepare yourself for it, because it's coming. Either you're going to be with the Lord or you're going to be against him. You can't be, ain't no, there's no neutral ground. You can't straddle the fence. The reason why is because the third chapter of Revelation says he wished that you were hot or cold. Either you're going to be for him or you're going to be against him. But in the middle, lukewarm, you're going to make him sick. So you playing the harlot. And I said I wasn't going to preach. I'm through. I'm finished. The Lord starts speaking, and because there are so many of us don't believe that this thing can take us out. And I'm going to say this, and I'm closing. But my mother used to tell me, she said, "Boy, stay here as long as you can, and leave here when you can't help it." So I don't want to rush myself out of here. And those words came to my mind this week when I saw those persons going into those barber shops and salon there in Georgia. And I said, "Lord, help them, protect them, keep them." But don't you tempt God. Don't you tempt God. That's all I'm saying. Don't tempt God. Give him what's due him. Be subjective. Be obedient. Don't drive 100 mile an hour in a 30 mile zone. Harvest. The harvest is coming. Something to think about. Keep reading. That is for all good. Y'all have some sense to want to protect your children. You go out and get that, carry that virus into your home. So they live 5 to 6 hours in the air inside of a building just for people speaking. You can't escape. Well, we can't. I know when that time comes, you're going to go, yes. But don't rush it. Don't rush it. For 30 minutes inside the hour, you're listening to the night service of sound on the Old Ship of Zion Gospel Music Ministry. Right here at 95.5 WJDB on your FM frequency at WJDB955.com. Screaming. We're screaming. Over the internet. Thank you so very kindly.
Telling him, Lord, I come. as I'm as I know how, thanking you for this day. Dear Lord, please guide me on this journey. Give me the strength and power. Help me to tell the one that's lost. Lord, you hung, you bled, and you died on Calvary's cross. And at your feet, all of the burdens they can lay.
Tonight to tell you that Jesus loves you. And he gave his life for us. So he's already made the way. We have to walk therein. Yes, Lord. Get him to Elder Van Williams and his wife's lovely wife, Sister Carolyn Williams of the Faithful Truth Number 2. Good evening to you. Glad to have you on board.
He will forgive you.
Oh, oh yes. Shout out to my friend Carlos. Good evening to you. BJ Bernard, it's in the program. Your brother Willie Pugh and to brother Lenny Dixon up around Dixon's Mill, Sweetwater. Good evening to the frat. Oh, oh, yes. To the pole, Mark Vixen. Hey, good evening to you, Atmo, Alabama.
About 2 a.m. one morning, I wake up at 5.
Oh, that's Vixen Bradley.
But you see, I knew it was nothing but the grace of God Almighty that touched my body. Your wife and your children. When I got out of my bed, I met my daughter telling me, "Dear, it's a whole lot of smoke in the house." Oh, that time, all the lights went out, and I couldn't find my son. Don't tell me God won't make a way for you. My son had fell asleep in the floor. And tell me, but you see how God made a way. He managed to let me step on my son's hand, and he woke up and said, "Dad, what's going on?" I told him to get up. We've got to get out of here. But you see, we only able to save the clothes that we have on our backs. You can't tell me that God won't make a way for you. Ah, my brother father was standing there shedding tears. And my dad looked at me and said, "Huey, what are you gonna do now?" But I looked at him and I told him it wasn't mine in the first place. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? I told him, I said, "God, give it!
Do you understand what the word is saying tonight? Are you getting ready for harvest? The way maker. Jesus. Yes, yes. Oh, yes. We already made. And the word say, I think, and Jeremiah told him, seek and search for the old path. And when you find it, walk in it. And they say, "Hey, nope. Just like now, we ain't looking and we ain't going to walk in it. We're going to do it our way. This is what we want. This is what we're going to do." I want to say, good evening. I got a few people I want to say to. Mother Zelda, beautiful good evening to you on this fourth Sunday in April. I tell you, wasn't it nice, cool these mornings? I say, yeah. And we just so excited that it's not storming tonight. I was excited about that the last two Sunday nights. It's been rough up in here. I said, man, you're a huge couple of sense. I said, yeah, I had to come here because my ministry is here. And the wife be frightened. Lights went out. And, the night before Easter night, I think it's the 5th. That's when the storm came here. The 12th, yeah. A tornado came right over this building and it shook. And I told Mr. Griffin that Monday when I came back down here, I said, I found my way. I got in that closet, you know. He said, "What?" I said, that was the only safest place I could find. And it was going to get blown away if the storm had come down. If it had been a little lower, I guess I wouldn't be here talking to you right now. But how good God is. Because I had it on the radar, on the phone, and I could see it. And it went Fulton coming right on, and then it moved up. So, thank you, Jesus. And then when the power went out and everything, it just went crazy up in here. And so I just thank God for keeping us. Sometimes, you know, you get caught in places. I said I was safer here than in that truck trying to go home. So I felt safer, and God took care of us. He watched over us. I just want to say a couple of things to a couple of people. Several people that's listening. I just want to call your name and let you know I appreciate you, Mother Minna, Pika Starfin, send the program out to you and to your daughter, Minna Starfin, to Sister Lily Viola Williams, and to Brother J.C. Starfin, and to all the people there now in the lower Tree Packers, Ben, Pastor and Sister Bumpers. We're going to get it out there, but say good evening to you. Also to Mother Lena Jowers, Mother Fanny Lambert, Elder Robert Smith, to our good friends, Anita Horn. Mother, good evening to you, to the Church of God Surgeon, Elder Arthur, and Sister Mary Hobson. Send the program to you. Penn Horn, good evening to you on this evening, to Deacon Clifford, Bernell Wilson, Mother Millie Andrews, to Mother Williams, Sister Francis Talley, good evening to you. Also, we say good evening to Brother Program, to you and to your family on this. Mother Bessie Todd, my friend, sister, good evening to Jamestown. Send a program out to you, to Elois Foster Payne, Brian Montgomery, to Mother Johnny Pearl Mitchell. Program to you, Mother Olitha Watkins, to also to Sister Nellie Kynes. So good evening to you, Mother Cleveland. My friend Cleveland Worthy, and to you, Brother Caesar Abston, and to his brother Joe Abston, Commissioner. And good evening to the UPLAP, Lewis Grove Baptist Church family, Tequila, Jasmine, and Jared there in Touch Community, Leroy, and Press Week. Good evening to
there's a song we sung in our house. I want those that have your Bibles to hold your Bible in the air and say, Bread of Heaven. One more. Those that really love God's word, scream one more time. Somebody grab your Bible and just hold it in the air like this right here. Take your other hand and high five your neighbor and say, I love the word. Put it down and clap your hands with me. Come on. Hey, yeah. Listen to this. To my heart, hope and wisdom, you and my best. It's so good.
Somehow linked with the existence and the reign and the administration of Uzziah.
Amen.
Certainly, people are important. People are important as it relates to the course of things, the course of history. Some people influence the course of history. Some people have great impact upon their time, but nobody is indispensable. Do you know what I'm talking about? God, in the process of things, have fixed things so that although we may be important, we may serve our times and therefore serve our God.
Amen.
But God has some successors to us.
Amen.
stop because we have our pants on. God got something a great many people dream of living always. But I seriously doubt. Because I think that ultimately it is against God's process. Suppose people like Hitler never die. Suppose people like Stalin lived forever. Pray with me if you please. Now, that is not only true with the historically known bad people, but we got a lot of little people who are categorized among the good people, but whose minds are narrow and whose outlooks are cloudy, and God has to move them on too, so that broader and more liberal view can enter into the world. For you see, in connection with personality, God has an evolutionary process of developing the world and the outlook of the world and bringing to fruition his great ideas, such as love and justice and truth and mercy and compassion and all those things. But you see, those things can only find expression in proportion to our abilities and in proportion to our minds and thinkings and attitude and disposition. So although Isaiah tied a lot of hopes to Uzziah had to pass on. It was the passing of Uzziah that threw Isaiah into a mental and an emotional crisis that ultimately occasioned this vision, and that ultimately occasioned him seeing God. I wish you'd pray with me. Seeing God. Oh, I'm afraid that there are a few of us who still have a few little eyes in our lives to keep us from seeing God. Your eye may be your husband. That's what I said, maybe. It may be your wife. It could be the crowd that you run with. It could be the folly that you indulge in. It could be your daughter, your son. It could be your passion for things that are really not constructive and vital. Are you praying with me? Whatever it may be, and only you really know. Come to think of it, maybe you don't know. For Isaiah did not know, or probably was not conscious of the fact that Uzziah kept him from really seeing God. That is not to say that he had no knowledge of God or that he was a sinner. Isaiah was a godly man, a righteous man. But even so, he had not seen God. And there are a lot of people in the church who have not seen God. You see, the record is, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. That implies that he saw a lot of other things.
But the most important thing that any man can see is to see God. Yes, he saw a throne.
Didn't it so?
An exalted throne. High and lifted up. He saw a cherubim suspended in the air with the wings covering their faces, indicating their humility, and covering their feet. He heard them singing an anthem. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. He saw the temple trembling and the doorpost moving. He saw the temple beclouded by smoke. And all of these were interesting sights. But none of them were as important as seeing God. Pray with me if you please. For you see, to see God is a transforming experience. Is a transforming experience. To see God is not only a transforming, but it's a redeeming experience. But you see, no man or no woman can see God and remain the same. You can't do it. And what is seeing God anyway? To see God is to embrace and practice justice. To see God is to embrace and practice mercy and humility. To see God is to know and believe in truth. To see God is to practice love. To make love a part of your life. And make your life an instrument of dispensing that loveliness to those with whom you come in contact. That's seeing God. That's seeing God. To see God is to see the dignity of human personality and to recognize all men as being your brothers, because God is the Father of all men. That's seeing God. I don't care how often you go to church. I don't care what position you hold in the church. I don't care how long you've been a member of it. If you do not embrace and practice love, if you do not embrace and practice mercy, if you are not humble in heart, if you do not recognize the dignity of human personality, if you do not practice justice, you have not seen God. For you see, there are a lot of folk going around here with their names on church rolls and bearing the labels of Christians that haven't seen God. I see people here. I see people elsewhere. I see mean, evil, low-down people in the church. I see people who are murderers on the deacon board. I see people who go out and spread hate, class against class and race against race, and yet call themselves Christians, followers of the Prince of Peace. Such people have not seen God. You cannot be mean and evil and low down and narrow-minded and look at God at the same time. You can't do it. For to see God is a transforming experience. It's a transforming experience. So Isaiah remembered when he saw God. And that is true in any life. A man never will forget when he first sees the light. Lack the hymnologist of old, he can sing at the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. That it was there that I saw and received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. For when a man sees God, I say his whole outlook changes. My Lord, when a man sees God, he sees everything different. You know, Isaiah said, when I saw the Lord, not that I hadn't heard about him before, not that I did not have some kind of mental picture of him in my heart and mind before, but when I saw him for myself, I saw him high and lifted up. Yes, he was on a throne that was not only high, but was lifted up. Lifted up above prejudice. Lifted up above malice. Lifted up above unbrotherliness. Oh Lord, lift it up above anything that was ungodly. The throne that I saw. Oh Lord. And then the glory that radiated from that throne filled the whole earth. Oh Lord. I've been in the world a long time before, but this I didn't know. When I saw God, I saw so many other things. Great God. I looked around and saw his glory in the star. I looked around and saw his glory in the moon. I looked down on the ground and saw his glory in the flower. His glory in blades of grass. Well, I looked around and I saw his glory in the mountain and in the restless sea. The whole earth was full of his glory. I looked up and I saw the birds winging their way through the air, singing about his glory. The whole earth was full of his glory. Oh Lord, why don't you pray with me? And I was sitting in the temple, great God, depressed and preoccupied. I was sitting in the temple feeling that Israel was depraved and hopeless. Oh Lord, and in that lonely hour, the king came in. And the king that I saw was also a priest, for he had on a robe with a long train behind it that filled the whole temple. Oh Lord, I don't even know what I'm talking about tonight. Oh Lord. And the angel began to sing, holy, 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 holy. He's the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Oh Lord. And not only did I see God and see him lifted up and see angels and see Israel's predicament, but I saw myself. But when I looked at him, I saw how unjust I was and how unclean I was. I saw everything as it should be. I looked at him, and he was a revealing mirror of my life. Yes, he was. Yes. And I said, wow, it's me. For my eyes have have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Yes. And when I voiced that contrite spirit and that repentant heart, well, the Lord spoke to an angel and told him to go get tongs in his hand and go to David's burning altar and get a live coal and lay on my lips, and my sin was purged. Yeah. When I saw the Lord and the angels corrected my life, I heard a voice saying, who will go for us? Who can I sin? And who will go for us? I told the Lord, here am I. Here am I. But here I am. I've been with the wrong crowd. But here I am. I've been wasting my life. I've been mean and narrow. But here I am. Oh! Here am I. Here am I. Here am I. Send me, I'll go. I'm weak, but I'll go anyhow. My vision may be narrow, but I'll go anyhow. I'm poor, but I'll go anyhow. Here am I. Here am I. Here am I. Send me, I'll go. Lord, here are my hands. Lord, here is my life. Send me, I'll go. Here am I. Send me, I'll go. He saw the temple trembling and the doorpost moving. He saw the temple beclouded by smoke, and all of these were interesting sights. But none of them were as important as seeing God. Pray with me if you please. For you see, to see God is a transforming experience. Is a transforming experience. To see God is not only a transforming, but it's a redeeming experience. But you see, no man or no woman can see God and remain the same. You can't do it. And what is seeing God anyway? To see God is to embrace and practice justice. To see God is to embrace and practice mercy and humility. To see God is to know and believe in truth. To see God is to practice love. To make love a part of your life. And make your life an instrument of dispensing that loveliness to those with whom you come in contact. That's seeing God. That's seeing God. To see God is to see the dignity of human personality and to recognize all men as being your brothers, because God is the Father of all men. That's seeing God. I don't care how often you go to church. I don't care what position you hold in the church. I don't care how long you've been a member of it. If you do not embrace and practice love,
If you do not embrace and practice mercy, if you are not humble in heart, if you do not recognize the dignity of human personality, if you do not practice justice, you have not seen God. For you see, there are a lot of folk going around here with their names on church rolls and bearing the labels of Christian that haven't seen God. I see people here. I see people elsewhere. I see mean, evil, low-down people in the church. I see people who are murderers on the deacon board. I see people who go out and spread hate, class against class and race against race, and yet call themselves Christians, followers of the Prince of Peace. Such people have not seen God. You cannot be mean and evil and low down and narrow-minded and look at God at the same time. You can't do it. For to see God is a transforming experience. It's a transforming experience. So Isaiah remembered when he saw God. And that is true in any life. A man never will forget when he first sees the light. Like the hymnologist of old, he can sing, at the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. That it was there that I saw and received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. For when a man sees God, I say his whole outlook changes. My Lord, when a man sees God, he sees everything different. You know, Isaiah said, when I saw the Lord, not that I hadn't heard about him before, not that I did not have some kind of mental picture of him in my heart and mind before, but when I saw him for myself, I saw him high and lifted up. Yeah, he was on a throne that was not only high, but was lifted up. Lifted up above prejudice. Lifted up above malice. Lifted up above unbrotherliness. Oh, Lord, lifted up above anything that was ungodly. The throne that I saw. Oh, Lord. And then the glory that radiated from that throne filled the whole earth. Oh, Lord. I've been in the world a long time before, but this I didn't know. When I saw God, I saw so many other things. Great God. I looked around and saw his glory in the star. I looked around and saw his glory in the moon. I looked down on the ground and saw his glory in the flower. His glory in blades of grass. Well, I looked around and I saw his glory in the mountains and in the restless sea. The whole earth was full of his glory. I looked up and I saw the birds winging their way through the air, singing about his glory. The whole earth was full of his glory. Oh, Lord, why don't you pray with me? And I was sitting in the temple, great God, depressed and preoccupied. I was sitting in the temple feeling that Israel was depraved and hopeless. Oh, Lord. In that lonely hour, the king came in. And the king that I saw was also a priest. For he had on a robe with a long train behind it that filled the whole temple. Oh, Lord. I don't think you know what I'm talking about tonight. Oh, Lord. And the angel began to sing, holy, 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 holy. He's the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Oh, Lord. And not only did I see God and see him lifted up and see angels and see Israel's predicament, but I saw myself. But when I looked at him, I saw how unjust I was and how unclean I was. I saw everything as it should be. I looked at him, and he was a revealing mirror of my life. Yes, he was. Yeah. And I said, wow, is me. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Yes. And when I voiced that contrite spirit and that repentant heart, well, the Lord spoke to an angel and told him to go get tongs in his hand and go to David's burning altar and get a live coal and lay on my lips, and my sins were purged. Yeah. When I saw the Lord and the angels directed my life, I heard a voice saying, who will go for us? Who can I send? And who will go for us? I told the Lord, here am I. Here am I. But here I am. I've been with the wrong crowd. But here I am. I've been wasting my life. I've been mean and narrow. But here I am. Oh! Here am I. Here am I. Here am I. Send me, I'll go. I'm weak, but I'll go anyhow. My vision may be narrow, but I'll go anyhow. I'm poor, but I'll go anyhow. Here am I. Here am I. Here am I. Send me out, Lord. Here are my hands. Lord, here is my life. Send me, I'll go. Here am I. Send me, I'll go.
On the behalf of all of us here at House Ibrahim Gospel Blog Talk Radio, we want to thank Representative Pastor Thomas E. Jackson from the old Ship of Zion. We see you next Sunday. Thank you, and God bless.